The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron.
America, what's up? For the better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. It's the holiday season. Just a few days from Christmas. Cannot believe it. Oopsie-doo, Dickory Doc. Fireside blazing high, all that good stuff. But today's the 22nd. It's December 22nd. Apparently, with it being Tuesday, I guess that means Christmas is Friday. I have no idea how that's possible. And not only is it Christmas is going to be Friday, we're approaching the end of this year. We're approaching the end of 2009. I mean, I'm 30 years old now, and I guess what I was hearing when I was younger, it's seeming more and more true year by year that every year goes by faster and faster and faster. It seems like it was just, you know, last year, maybe a couple of years ago, I'm at a New Year's Eve party, we're ringing in 2000. And I'm thinking about how cool that is. This is going to be a whole new millennium, and you know, everybody's singing "Party Like It's 1999." Like they play that a million times. Everybody's worried about Y2K. Now, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be in the 2010. So we're going to be finishing off the first decade of the 2000s. It's weird, kind of a crazy thought. I just wanted to just have that little mental moment with you about what's been rattling through my head all day, because we got to get some Christmas shopping done. I don't know about anybody else. My poll question is going to revolve around that just a bit. And I'm going to have the phone lines open for the entire show today, so I'll get that out right here at the top, 888-346-9144. Feel free to call in. And if you want to talk Christmas, we can talk Christmas, but I'm definitely going to get some sports takes going on here as the show goes on with the NFL, with college football, the unfortunate passing of Chris Henry. Any thoughts you want to share on any of those topics and anything else we get into, or something I don't cover that you want to cover yourself, feel free to call in. And, of course, the email is bigantnow@live.com, BIGANTNOW at live.com. We still got plenty of Christmas shopping to do. I don't know about anybody else. We just really, me and my wife Kelly, we just kind of started hot and heavy yesterday. And I say we, just because we kind of, you know, we're married, been married for a while now. We share everything. Really, she started yesterday, and we flip-flopped our responsibility, or not responsibilities, but our Christmas plans this year, where, you know, with my family being in the Chicago area, her family being out on the East Coast, normally we just do one and one when we have times. When I'm still playing, we had to do, really, we couldn't do either when I was in the NFL. We just, you know, had a game, but we didn't get to do either holiday. Now it's turned into where normally we'd do Thanksgiving with one, Christmas with the other. More often than not, Thanksgiving with my folks, Christmas with hers. Flip-flopped it this year. So certainly looking forward to heading out of town this weekend, getting up and spending the holiday with our people. But my wife got the shopping started hot and heavy yesterday, sent out some packages, a few gifts. We're going to try to get some more in tonight. And of course, tomorrow's going to be a big day as well, because really, a lot of stuff just starts shutting down on Thursday. You really start running out of time, and it seems, maybe I just pay more attention to it now than I used to. It seems more prevalent now where people are just closing down, just shutting down operations Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I don't know. I mean, I guess if I was them, I wouldn't want to work and keep my store open Christmas Eve either. I'd have a family to go to. But for people like me, for you know, us last-minute type folks that really get stuff done at the last second, I want to be able to walk into a Toys R Us at 10 o'clock on Thursday night and say, you know what, I forgot to get X, Y, and Z. Let me get this new video game system for my niece or nephew, or go to a department store and get that last gift card or something like that. But they're just not making that available. I don't know. It's a little pet peeve of mine. It would be nice if there was more places still open. But let's get into a little bit of sports here. But I'll go ahead and put out the poll question right here at the top of the show. Going to keep it holiday themed because I know everybody has a favorite Christmas gift. And actually, I've put it on my Facebook page too, which anyone who's listening right now, you're on the Motivox website. So you're listening to me on voiceamerica.com. Hit my page there. You can get a link to my Facebook page. It's on there as well. Poll question. Your favorite Christmas gift of all time. Mine was a My Buddy. And I don't know if you guys remember mid to late 80s, some of like the big dolls became popular. Cabbage Patch Kids were way too expensive. I didn't want any of those. My sister had one or two of those. But My Buddy was huge for a little while. That was my favorite one because the commercials were great. You know, My Buddy and me, we can climb up. And they made them look kind of alive because it was this huge doll. And when you're like, 6 years old or seven or whatever it was, the doll's almost your size. So it's almost like, you can kind of have an imaginary friend in a way. But, it's an actual, it's somebody sitting there right next to you. You can come up with conversations or whatever. I'm not going to make myself sound too crazy, but I finally received a My Buddy after watching these commercials for months and months and months leading up to the Christmas holiday. Santa Claus brought me a My Buddy. Then tragedy struck because another gift that I got that same year was a skateboard. And, I'm a big kid. I'm rough and tumble, whatever, but I didn't have my brother's 9 years older than me. So at that point, he was too big for us to really, we'd wrestle, but he'd just whoop on me all the time. It wasn't always fun for me to wrestle with big bro at that point. Now, I got him by 80 pounds and, 3 inches now. So, yeah, it's what now? But back then, when, I'm 6, 7 years old, he could whoop me. So I'd tussle around with my buddy a little bit. I had the skateboard next to us one time, and as I'm play wrestling with my buddy, I broke the head off accidentally just as I slammed him on the skateboard. Some pent-up aggression I had. Slammed him on the skateboard, and the head popped off. So that ruined the rest of my year, whatever year that was. It had to be like 1986 or 87 or so. Ruined the rest of my year. I killed my buddy. We took some duct tape out or some kind of big packing tape and, put the neck back on, but it just looked like I had just abused him, and that only lasted so long. Following year, I got another My Buddy. They had the Wink and Blink My Buddy. So now that I sit here thinking about it, not even the initial My Buddy, but it was like Terminator 2 kind of thing. It was like the T-1000 of the My Buddies. They had the Wink and Blink. He was a little bit bigger, had a giant head, which I could relate to because I've got a giant head too. And then he had the Wink and Blink thing going. So it was a new age, a new era of the My Buddy doll. Christmas is my favorite time of year, so I can sit here and talk Christmas all day. Anybody wants to call in, email, talk Christmas, go ahead and let me know. Feel free to do that. Going to get into some sports moving into this section of the show here, though. But that's the poll question. Favorite Christmas gift of all time? I know everybody's got one or five, but try to keep it to two at the most. But if you got that favorite one, let me know your favorite Christmas gift you have ever received during the holiday season. Mike Tomlin made what I thought to be a very bold move in the Steelers game against the Packers on Sunday. And I do Lexi's on Green Bay. I've told you guys about Lexi.com, and I put the updates on about the different teams out there. And so it was a great game to watch anyway, but I'm especially tuning in for the Packers, for the Detroit Lions, because I do mobile updates on those teams for Lexi. And watching this game, that moment, I know a lot of people have criticized Mike Tomlin and think that the Steelers got lucky coming out with that victory. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a point at about the four-minute mark remaining in the fourth quarter. The Steelers had just taken the lead back. I believe it was 30-28. The Steelers had taken the lead back. And so they're preparing to kick off to Green Bay. And the way the action in the game was going up to that point, a huge amount of passing yards by both quarterbacks. Roethlisberger ends up with over 500. Aaron Rodgers ends up with nearly 400. The offenses have been moving the ball the entire game. So with a two-point lead, Mike Tomlin decides, let's go ahead and kick an onside to try and see if we can recover the ball. The element of surprise is, of course, there, as he stated after the game, because nobody in their right mind is expecting him to do an onside kick. And they actually had an opportunity to recover it, except Ike Taylor just snatched the ball up at the 9-yard mark as opposed to the 10-yard mark. So they didn't get the recovery. But this was an arena football type decision made by Coach Mike Tomlin, because you're already factoring in there's a chance we're not going to recover this onside kick. But if we don't, you're still in a good position because you've given Green Bay the ball on a short field, basically having the assumption they only need a field goal anyway. The way they've moved the ball, there's a great chance they're going to drive the ball into field goal range and have an opportunity to make a late kick to win the game for the Packers. With 4 minutes on the clock, they can chew up a majority of the remaining time in the game, get themselves into field goal range, and walk off the field victorious. Now, going for the onside kick, if you get it, great. You have an opportunity to extend your lead. If you don't get it, Green Bay's in scoring territory, whether it's field goal or touchdown, but now there's a much bigger amount of time remaining on the clock for the Steelers, and that's exactly how it worked out. They didn't let Green Bay score. If you come up with the stop, great, but if you don't, you've now left Ben Roethlisberger 2 minutes on the clock to run what is the essential position to be in for a two-minute drill to go down and win the game. And that's exactly how it played out. So to me, Mike Tomlin did not get lucky. It was, I believe, an excellent decision by a young a football coach that's got a fresh perspective on how you approach the NFL game. And for me, with my arena football background, as soon as he did it, I turned to my wife and I said, that's an arena football move right there. And even before it happened, I'm sitting here thinking, if he had any onions, he would kick an onside right here because, you know, I played in the Arena Football League for a couple of years after I left the NFL. I've coached in the Arena League the last couple of years with the Tennessee Valley Vipers. We won a championship in 08. I've told you about all that. That's the exact scenario you have to be able to take advantage of. He made the move, and it worked out to perfection, and it led to Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball to Mike Wallace for a victory for the Steelers. So I take my hat off to Mike Tomlin for the move he made there late in the game. There's no luck involved at all with that. It was an amazing move by what I think is a young coach with a fresh perspective on how you coach the game of football. Very aggressive call. We're going to come back from this first break and get in a little bit more NFL talk. We're going to touch on the tragic passing of Chris Henry and start getting into some poll questions as we move forward, too. We'll take a short time out and be right back on the game plan.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The Sports Maverick Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Maverick Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Up goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
You heard the man. 888-346-9144 is the phone number, the LS4 hotline, or you can go ahead and email me, the Quaker Homes inbox, BIGANTNOW@live.com. That's Big Ant Now at live.com. Got one right here, Quaker Homes inbox. Lauren says, that's weird. It's so funny that your favorite gift was a My Buddy because I love the kid sister. And it's funny because I was thinking that in my head, and I didn't get to it in the first segment. But, yeah, it seemed like a lot of the toys and the cartoons and everything in the 80s kind of had the male and female counterpart to them. My Buddy had the kid sister. He-Man had She-Ra. You know, different things like that. I can run down a whole list of them, I guess. But, yeah, kid sister. I definitely remember that. Lauren says her favorite gift was kid sister. Actually asked my engineer here, Dion, asked him over the break, Dion got a car for Christmas one year. Man, I've never received a car over the Christmas holiday. He was pretty happy about that. I'm happy for him. Wow, that's an impressive Christmas gift. I say that might put the rest of them to shame. Congratulations on that. Move on to another topic here. It happened today in Louisiana. Chris Henry, as I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard at this point, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, 26 years old, died last week. He apparently had a domestic dispute going with his fiance. They were supposed to get married in 3 months. They've got a couple of kids together. And during this dispute, she was going to drive away in a pickup truck. And, you know, I would imagine it's just one of these situations where she's leaving. He doesn't want her to leave, wants to continue to discussion or whatever, and he hopped into the rear bed of the pickup and fell out of the truck as she drove away and sustained some very, very serious injuries. This happened on Wednesday, and then the next day, Thursday, his injuries ended up causing his eventual demise. And it's of course a sad story no matter who dies and when it happens, but then when you just look at the particulars of the Chris Henry situation where he had been so troubled throughout the early few years of his NFL career, troubled to the point where in spite of his immense talent, the Cincinnati Bengals end up releasing him from their roster, and then they sign him back and say, we're going to give you one last chance to get this right. You know, in spite of the suspensions that you had earlier in your career and, you know, the different legal and social run-ins, and really probably in spite of maybe the league even saying whether or not they should sign him back. They did give him one more opportunity, and by all accounts, he was making the proper steps to turning his life around. And you know, apparently just some of the quotes that were coming out of the pre-funeral services, a few interviews that were granted, and some of the words that came out of it from different people as they left the service were talking about his fiance just saying that, you know, it's kind of viewed where Chris Henry, you know, where she had helped turn his life around is the way that most people look at it, because he's the of course, the notable figure between the two of them. But she said that it can't be ignored that he helped her change her life as well. And so I certainly would have been remiss if I just didn't spend a second just touching on just the extremely, extremely unfortunate passing of Chris Henry. And, of course, my condolences, and I'm sure everyone here at Voice America, the condolences of all of us go out to Chris Henry, his family, the loved ones that he's left behind, and, of course, the entire Cincinnati Bengals organization. They've had several different tragedies they've had to work their way through during the season here, and they've still been able to somehow work through that and get themselves to a 9-5 record and first place right now in the AFC North. And, you know, whatever perspective they've been able to keep through some of these situations they've had to deal with, it's extremely impressive to me the job that Marvin Lewis has done with that football team. So I just wanted to touch on that for a moment and pass on my condolences to everyone involved with that situation. But since I am, you know, sticking with the NFL here in the early part of the show, so many 7-7 teams right now in the AFC. And to me, this is the first season in a while where I've looked at it and said maybe that balance of power is beginning to shift back to the NFC, because there were so many years, I cannot remember, I wish I would have looked this up before I came on the air, there was a run of double-digit years where the NFC just won the Super Bowl year after year after year and just pummeled the AFC in a lot of these Super Bowls. You know, you look at the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, some of these teams that won multiple Super Bowls when you're looking at the 1980s, the 1990s, very dominant run from the NFC. And in recent years, that has shifted over to the AFC with the New England Patriots, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and some of the dominance from those teams, the Indianapolis Colts, having the best teams in football going for several of these years. This season, I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. And you look at the amount of 7-7 teams that are here, these are good football teams, but are they Super Bowl caliber? When you look at the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, Pittsburgh Steelers are 7-7, the Jags, the Titans, the Houston Texans, there's six different teams in the AFC sitting at 7-7 that are all still in the playoff hunt. And while the division is locked up for, you know, quite a few of the other teams, San Diego Chargers have locked up their division. Indianapolis Colts have locked up the AFC South. New England Patriots have a two-game lead with two games remaining, so they're in pretty good shape. They technically, mathematically don't have the AFC East locked up, but I think you can pretty much pencil the Patriots in. I think this is a year where you're looking at the balance of power shifting possibly back to the NFC. And how many teams do you look at in the AFC and say they would really have a great shot at winning the Super Bowl? The San Diego Chargers are a team that are extremely underrated at this point in the season. They've got, a 9-game winning streak going right now, 11-3 overall record out in the AFC West. And, you know, the division they play in, that certainly helps that. They're 5-1 in their division right now, but they've had some impressive wins out of the division as well. So you look at the Chargers, you look at the Colts, I still don't think you can discount the Patriots, because there's enough players remaining on that team where if they can get hot at the right time, they're going to make it to the postseason. Once they get there, then who knows what can happen. So to me, there's basically three teams that I look at in the AFC and say they're definitely a Super Bowl caliber team. NFC, I think that is much more wide open. Because the Eagles, we know where they're at. They've locked up a playoff spot. Not a division crown yet, but a playoff spot. Either the Cowboys or the Giants have shown that they have the kind of talent and really just kind of the wherewithal where they can possibly put a playoff run together and they can advance to the Super Bowl. We know how good the Minnesota Vikings are, and I'm going to touch on them in more detail a little bit later in the show. Green Bay Packers, maybe not so much. I think they put themselves in position to maybe make a playoff run. They have it. If the playoffs started tomorrow, the Packers would be in it. New Orleans Saints, most certainly, just had their first loss last week. And then the Arizona Cardinals, we saw what they did last year. They're the defending NFC champions. So I think there's many more teams in the NFC where you would say not only do they have a chance to advance to the Super Bowl, but teams that could possibly win it. I think the NFC now outnumbers the AFC on your, you know, your more powerhouse caliber of football team, and especially a team that's kind of multifaceted, that can pass the ball, that can run the ball, that play solid defense. I think that's shifted a bit, you know, especially this season compared to where it was in some of the years past. I mentioned the Minnesota Vikings, and I put out a warning to all the folks, you know, all the Vikings fans and anyone in the Vikings organization who's listening to the show. I put out a warning, really, it may have even been a couple of months ago. Once Brett Favre had started working some of his magic towards the end of the games, and the temptation that gets involved with a situation where you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, the guy that owns every major passing record, taking the snap from center down in and down out, there's a temptation there to say, let's put the offense in his hands. Let's let Brett get it done. I told the Vikings a long time ago, way early in the season, you know, about whatever it was, week four or so, where they started taking the handcuffs off of him a little bit. He started putting up some bigger passing numbers. He had that huge late drive where he completed every pass and threw that strike into the back of the end zone, Sidney Rice, and they beat the 49ers, and he's, you know, knocking people out during the drive, going running downfield, cut blocking folks and everything. I respect that, but the Vikings have now, if they haven't forgotten, their memory's getting a little bit fuzzy on where their bread is buttered when you got a guy like Adrian Peterson in the backfield. Now, if you're going to tell me they're phasing Adrian Peterson out because he fumbles too much, give me a break. Because if you're phasing Adrian Peterson out because he fumbles too much, then why wouldn't they be phasing out Brett Favre because he throws too many interceptions? This guy is the all-time interception leader. Great quarterback, Hall of Fame, Super Bowl caliber, no doubt about all the positives. But don't tell me just about the negatives to either one of them, because they've both got their baggage that they're going to bring with them to a big moment in a football game. But the Vikings have been built around the run for years, and now adding Brett Favre into that mix, now they've become this passing team, and they've lost that run mojo. It's been nearly a month and a half since Adrian Peterson has had a 100-yard game. Are you kidding me? Minnesota's got to get it figured out. And Brad Childress, you can sit on the sidelines and argue with Brett Favre about whether you should keep him in or out of a 7-6 game. You're wasting your time with that. Spend some time with your offensive staff and remind them that your bread is buttered with Adrian Peterson toting the rock. That's what made the Minnesota Vikings the best team in the NFC before Favre got there. And that's what's going to make them the NFC Super Bowl representative if they can get that part figured out with Favre in the mix. Going to come back. We're going to get in a little bit of college football. The bowl season has started. Touch on a few other storylines. We come right back. Got another break coming up here. You're listening to The Game Plan. Stay with me.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
If you're thinking of starting a business or are already in business, tune in as the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur addresses business ownership concerns. Business novice or not, let the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur help you each week as we present and discuss the meat and potato issues of starting and running a business. Join the discussion. There's always room for your thoughts and opinions. The Kitchen Table Entrepreneur is a valuable program you should be tuning into every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Heron.
And I know a lot of you folks are listening at your desk right now, your work, you're checking it out. If you can't call in because you're worried about getting fired on your last day at work before the Christmas holiday, don't sweat it. I'm sitting here at the Mission Design Studio. I will do all the heavy lifting. I've got the show. I will hold it down for you. Just listen and enjoy. But if you do want to call in, feel free, 888-346-9144. Or if you want to email, go ahead and get involved here. Quaker Homes inbox is BigAntNow@live.com, BIGANTNOW at live.com. And, of course, the phone line is the LS4 hotline. Forgot to mention that as well. Got an email here from Scott. Scott in Harvey, Illinois. What up, Big Ant? Got to let you know my favorite gift was my collection of Transformers. Oh, now that was huge. See, I'm getting the impression that a lot of the folks listening in are in from my generation here because the Transformers, wow. That takes me back. And, I mean, you know, of course, the movies that have come out in the last few years, those have been entertaining. You know, second one wasn't great, but a couple of entertaining movies. But, of course, that originated with the cartoon and the action figures that came with them back in the 80s. Love the Transformers and appreciate the email from Scott and, of course, the email we got earlier from Lauren as well about their favorite Christmas gifts of all time. All right, a little bit of college football here. The bowl season has started up, and there's been a couple of really entertaining games that have happened already, too. The very first bowl game of the year that came over the weekend, the New Mexico Bowl, out in Albuquerque, pitting Fresno State versus Wyoming. And there really was some really impressive athletes in the game. You know, the running back from Fresno State, Matthews, he's already decided he's going to go ahead and enter the draft, leading rusher in the nation, over 150 yards per game. So he's going to go ahead and make his way to the NFL. But congratulations to Wyoming, the Cowboys staff, in their first year coming out with a bowl victory with a freshman quarterback. Now, you know, you say, oh, it's just the New Mexico Bowl. So what? Give me a break on that. These bowls are huge to everybody that's involved in them. There's 34 bowl games. You can convince me that there's too many of them, but do not convince me that they're not a big deal to these programs that get to make these bowl trips. I've made bowl trips when I was in college. You know, I've been back to them as a spectator. I'm going to be at them working this year for the Big Ten Network, covering the Capital One Bowl, covering the Orange Bowl. So, I mean, yeah, Yeah, luckily, those are going to be a couple of bigger bowl games I'm at this year, one of them being a BCS game. I was going to play against Georgia Tech. But don't tell me the New Mexico Bowl wasn't a big deal to the two teams out there on the field, and they weren't happy to be there, happy to be able to end, especially for the seniors, happy to end their football career on national television, which neither one of those programs makes a habit out of being on. Then you add into that the fact that you get the bowl gifts, you get the whole experience of the week of, you know, just being on that grand stage of, you know, you're one of the elite if you make a bowl game. Even if you make a bowl game at 6-6, you could still say we are one of the teams that did not have a losing record, that, you know, even had a winning record in most of the cases, and you're at your bowl trip. So congratulations to Wyoming. I know they are and should be extremely excited about what they did in the New Mexico Bowl. And I really enjoyed watching Dwight Dasher get it done over the weekend against Southern Miss as well in Louisiana. I mean, that was an exciting game, and he is a beast. I watched him play as a true freshman. I was a part of the broadcast team where Middle Tennessee State played a game on Comcast, and of course that's a team right there in the Nashville area. They're in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, but they played a game against Virginia. Virginia came to Murfreesboro a few years back. It was Dwight Dasher's true freshman year, so just a couple of years ago. He's a junior now. And, you know, he hadn't even been starting that long. It was only his third career start at the point where they played Virginia about the midpoint of the season. And you could tell that there was something special about Dwight Dasher at that point. As a true freshman playing against a very physical, very well-coached Virginia Cavalier squad right there in Murfreesboro. And Middle Tennessee didn't come out with the win that day. Virginia came out victorious, but they did everything but win, and it was in large part due to the efforts of Dwight Dasher, both with his legs and with his arm. And he's the closest comparison that I would say of a guy who meets that same, you know, that Doug Flutie, that Antoine Randall L., that Woodrow Dantzler, in that class of the short, nimble quarterback. That is Dwight Dasher, and he's really a guy. He looks a lot bigger than he is. I mean, he's 5'10", 5'11", if he's lucky, but he is most certainly not 6 foot. But, I mean, the guy is a beast on the field. Came out with 200 rushing yards, nearly 200 passing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns, game MVP. So congratulations to Dwight Dasher, Rick Stockstill, the entire staff there at Middle Tennessee State as well, for their bowl victory. Some of the other bowl games coming up, I've already, you know, put my little shameless plug in on that. You're going to be able to catch me on the Big Ten Network. I'm going to be covering the Capital One Bowl, which is on New Year's Day. I'll be out there covering the Penn State-LSU game. And then, of course, on the 5th, I'll also be covering the Orange Bowl, which will pit, as I said, Iowa against Georgia Tech. And so, you know, so there's no misunderstanding. Those games will not be broadcast on the Big Ten Network, but I will be there on site reporting from those locations, giving you some pregame storylines, giving you, you know, a little bit of analysis on the matchup, and then, of course, some postgame interviews and kind of a wrap-up on things that are going on throughout those days. One game in Orlando, one game in Miami. I will most certainly try to find a way to enjoy that week when I'm there, because those are two cities where it can, you know, I've been there. It can be really tough to have fun in Orlando and in Miami. And so with this being a business trip for me, you know, basically, you know, kind of navigating that first week of January of 2010, I'm going to try to find a way to not, you know, make that be too hellish for me either. I want to try to have some fun when I'm there. So pray for me on that I can find a way to enjoy myself covering those bowl games. But the Big Ten as a conference, huge bowl season for the Big Ten. For the obvious national implications of the perception of the conference as a whole. And, you know, going 1-6 in the bowl season last year, that's embarrassing enough. But then, you know, last year it was coming off the back of watching Ohio State in the national championship game get throttled in back-to-back years and seeing a few other, you know, the other Big Ten teams that have been in the BCS games, watching them in recent years not have success. It's really kind of, it's put a damper on the perception of the conference as a whole. And no one's done it to the Big Ten. The Big Ten has done it to themselves by not putting the victorious product on the field. So So this is the point now where they really need to, and I believe have the opportunity, to turn things around perception-wise. If they can come out with victories in some of these games and at least maybe overall come out with a winning record. And I've already touched on a few of the games that the conference is going to be involved in. I'll go ahead and run down the whole list for you. In the Insight Bowl, it's going to be Minnesota versus Iowa State. A couple of 6-6 teams right there. That's going to be December 31st in Tempe. And you got the Alamo Bowl, which this will be the last year that the Alamo Bowl is actually a Big Ten tie. Last year, for a while at least, they're going to replace it with the Cotton Bowl for next year. So it will be another Texas game for the Big Ten, but it won't be the Alamo Bowl anymore. That's going to be Michigan State versus Texas Tech, which is a very tough matchup for Michigan State, even with all their bullets, let alone the fact that they've suspended 11 players from Michigan State for a campus brawl. So then we move on to the Champ Sports Bowl. Big Ten's number 5 team, Wisconsin, is going to take on Miami. A couple of 9-3 teams are going to be in Orlando on December 29th. Outback Bowl on New Year's Day, Northwestern versus Auburn. Then you got the Capital One, as I touched on, New Year's Day, Penn State versus LSU. I'll be at that game. Of course, the Orange Bowl I already touched on as well in Miami. That's going to be January 5th. And Big Ten champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, on the big stage. Going to be an ABC game in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl. And, you know, I don't think it takes any of the glimmer off of a possible Rose Bowl victory for Ohio State if it happens to be Oregon, that they, you know, it's going to have to be Oregon if they win the game. But the fact that it's not USC in this game representing the Pac-10, I think, you know, the perfect scenario would be to defeat USC because they are the Pac-10 team with the most prestige, the most respect. If the Big Ten was able to defeat them in a major bowl, that would be great. But USC wasn't the top of the mountain in the Pac-10. This year it was Oregon, and they've got a great team. You know, their quarterback, Jeremiah Masoli, is a playmaker. They've got a great run game. They run the spread option nearly to perfection. It's going to be a tough matchup for Ohio State, but I think they've got the defense to get it done. I'm not going to predict all the big bowl games today. I'll save my predictions for the Big Ten games for next week, but I wanted to touch on those matchups for you, run those down, and, of course, get my little shameless plug in for what games I will be reporting from when I'm on location for the Big Ten Network. But huge bowl season. And when we come back from the next break we're going to take here in a minute, I'm going to touch on a little bit, just give my thoughts on the news that the Big Ten will be looking to add a 12th team. And this has come up before in the past where, you know, will it be Notre Dame or, you know, will it be Rutgers, different things like that. It's been about a decade now until the conference itself was really serious about it, and personally, I'm all for it. I think it's high time that the Big Ten added another team and got themselves a conference championship game type of format that will allow them to be on the same stage as everyone else. So I'll touch on it in a little bit more detail after this break, give you a couple of good possibilities for some teams, and really a couple of surprising teams with some of the scuttlebutt is going on for who may be the 12th team in the Big Ten, and then what do you call it? Is it still the Big it's not even truly the Big Ten now. There's 11 teams. So if you got 12 teams, you most certainly can't call it the Big Ten anymore. So what do you rename a conference like the Big Ten? I got a couple ideas for you. So we'll take this last break. Be right back with the last segment, the final segment, the pre-Christmas segment of the game plan.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
There is so much complexity behind intimate connections. Wouldn't you like a better understanding into the how and why of how intimate connections are formed, how they deepen, and how they are broken? Tune in to the Intimacy Connection with Dr. Raymond Jones to learn more about the different facets of adult connections. It's an audio guidebook to why relationships form, flourish, or break apart as they do. The Intimacy Connection, live every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Heron.
Get down, get down.
That's right, you still got a few minutes. Call in on the LS4 hotline, 888-346-9144, or feel free to email me, bigantnow@live.com. That is the Quaker Homes inbox, BIGANTNOW at live.com. Some news just hit a few minutes ago. They announced the top 10 vote-getters in each conference of the NFL for the Pro Bowl, and they're doing the Pro Bowl format differently this year. So even the leading vote-getters may or may not actually participate in the Pro Bowl because, as opposed to doing it after the Super Bowl in Hawaii, they will now be hosting the Pro Bowl in the bye week leading into the Super Bowl, which I think was an interesting change. They want to, you know, make sure that there's at least some additional interest in the Pro Bowl this year. And a couple of noteworthy names that are up there, of course, Peyton Manning, overall leading vote-getter as far as the AFC at the quarterback position. Chris Johnson, Titans running back, leading vote-getter for the tailback position. LaRon McClain for the Ravens, leading fullback. Congratulations, friend of mine, Dallas Clark, leading vote-getter at tight end. So unless the Colts do make the Super Bowl this year, Dallas Clark will make his first Pro Bowl for the Indianapolis Colts, which is much deserved at this point. So big congratulations to Mr. Dallas Clark. And really, I mean, you know, he and I have joked about it, and he's certainly spent enough time joking about it in the media over the years, just the fact that, you know, when you got so many great tight ends in the AFC, it's difficult. You got Antonio Gates. Tony Gonzalez has been there with the Chiefs forever, and now he has finally flipped over to the NFC. He's with the Atlanta Falcons, and he was the top vote-getter at tight end in the NFC this year. So, of course, Tony Gonzalez, all-time great, you know, record-breaking tight end there. But congrats, Dallas Clark, possible first Pro Bowl. Now, this does not end the Pro Bowl balloting, though, because the players still vote. So the players vote this week, and the coaches need to issue their votes as well. And so they take it where each segment is only one-third of the vote. Now, the fan voting does tend to be along the same lines with what everyone else votes as well on most of the positions, but especially when you look at positions like the offensive line, the specialists, kicker and punter, different things like that, those tend to be swayed more once the coaches and players get involved too. So these are not, you know, the final Pro Bowl ballots, but it tends to be, you know, pretty close to what the situation is. Dwight Freeney from the Colts, Ray Lewis, linebacker from the Ravens, top vote getter Champ Bailey, And Troy Polamalu, even though he hasn't played half the season, still leading vote getter at safety. Ed Reed, and for punter in the AFC, Shane Leckler. Going over to the NFC, and of course Josh Cribbs, as far as the kick returner, he's the AFC kick returner from the Cleveland Browns, with very good reason if you saw over this past weekend. Drew Brees, leading vote getter for the quarterbacks, along with Adrian Peterson at tailback. Larry Fitzgerald at wide receiver. I already mentioned Tony Gonzalez at tight end. Minnesota Vikings' entire offensive line, basically, leading vote getters for the fan Pro Bowl balloting. Percy Harvin, kick returner. And then Jared Allen, deservedly so. Pat Williams of the Williams Boys inside from Minnesota, also in there. DeMarcus Ware. Charles Woodson, defensive MVP candidate from the Green Bay Packers at corner. Darren Sharper at free safety, who was having an excellent season going for a while. He would have gotten a few MVP votes from me around the mid-season point. So, like I said, not the final Pro Bowl voting, but the fans are now done voting, and that's kind of where things stand right now. Once the players and the coaches issue their votes, then everything will everything will most certainly be finalized once that happens. I was touching on the Big Ten a little bit before we went to that last break. And so there's talk within the conference about the possibility of, again, maybe adding another team. And the last time the Big Ten added a team was back in 1993 when they added Penn State into the mix. Penn State had been an independent up to that point, and Joe Paterno had already been there for, you know, about 30 years roughly at that point, as the head coach at least. He had already been there for, you know, whatever, 45 years or so, just as far as actually being on the coaching staff. And actually, as a sidebar, happy birthday to Joe Paterno. Turned 83 yesterday. The team is already actually down in Florida. They're not at the bowl site yet. They'll be traveling to Orlando, I believe, later this week sometime. Maybe Christmas Eve, I think, they're going to travel there. But happy birthday, Joe Pye. 83 years old for old Coach Joe. Jedi Joe, as I like to call him, because he's got so many young senseis, so many assistant coaches that he's popped out of there over the years, and former players that are head coaches at different times. So I call him Jedi Joe, and he's got all his Padawans that have been on the staff with different programs. But so Penn State was the last team that had got added into the Big Ten Conference. And so now, every few years, it's come up again. Will the Big Ten add a 12th team? I believe they should. And I've made this case quite a bit on the air and just talking to people and everything else, where I think every conference in Division 1A, in the FBS, should be on equal footing with the postseason. I think either everyone should have a conference championship game or everyone should not. And the way it sits, and it sounds like the Big Ten is finally starting to figure this out, one, perception-wise, you become irrelevant. When you're already done playing 3 weeks before everyone else has their conference championship game, you haven't had a major competition since then. I mean, just think about how long that is where people aren't even thinking about your conference. The Big Ten conference play ended November 21st. That's a long time ago. And then you got the other conferences having, you know, the postseason awards, the Heismans, and all that stuff. So to add a conference championship game, I think, would be huge. And the way to do that would be to add a 12th team. And there's already been some rumors circling, and not about the teams that you've been hearing over the years. I mean, Notre Dame, with good reason, is not interested in joining the Big Ten, and I wouldn't be if I was Notre Dame either. You're Notre Dame. You don't need anybody else. You can be an independent. That's fine. But will it be Pittsburgh from the Big East? Now, they've come up before, but they've turned into a very solid, very strong football program. But also, Cincinnati's name has come up. The one that grabbed me is Missouri. The Missouri Tigers, out of the Big 12, could they be a team that would be added to the Big Ten? And most of what I've tended to hear is, you know, maybe one of the better teams out of the MAC, or possibly a team from the East Coast so they can get into that recruiting hotbed. But if you add a Big 12 team into the mix, and especially one of the better Big 12 teams, I think that would be a coup for the Big Ten. So all you Big Ten fans out there, fingers crossed on that one, and it shouldn't take 18 months to figure this out. They're getting their, you know, their research committee together and, you know, gathering facts and figures and whatnot. You've been thinking about this for over a decade. Why does it take 12 to 18 months to figure it out publicly? I think you make the move, you announce it, you recruit some folks, and you try to make this happen, Big Ten, because the sooner you can get to that level, the sooner you're putting yourself as a conference back on equal footing with everyone else. I'm going to be back with you next Tuesday, the 29th. That will be the pre-New Year's edition of the Game Plan. And then the following week, on January 5th, I will be coming to you live from Miami, Florida, because I'll be on site, like I said, for the Orange Bowl. We'll have a few of the bowl participants, maybe some players or coaches. We'll get that figured out on the air for that. So certainly look forward to that in my first show of 2010. But happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that good stuff to everyone out there preparing to celebrate the holiday season. Enjoy yourself with your family and all your loved ones out there. Have fun with it. And certainly celebrate the birth of Christ. Keep doing your thing, America. Just do it better. We'll see you next time.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.